Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. Today, our primary topic of discussion is going to be Ernest Everett Just, Dr. Ernest Everett Just. And as we get started into the program, I want to let you know that the opinions expressed on this show are those of myself, John C. Abercrombie, not those of Crown Talking Drums, nor Blog Talk Radio. They are my opinions based on research, life experience, and additional research. So what we have here is a man that is known worldwide for work that he did in America. We sometimes don't see the difficulties in the life of many of our citizens, particularly Black and people of color. And so what we do is we dig down and find that history and expose it. It's not that the history has not happened. It's that it's a history that we have chosen to leave uncovered. And many people of renown have been basically ignored. Many of the most heinous acts that take place in this country are ignored. What we see is when many of these aspects of life are exposed, they are shocking to some. When pictures of dogs being unleashed on children, adults by Bull Connor, fire hoses, high-pressure water being used on kids, women, all people. It was shocking because people did not realize that this was happening. Some of the actions that take place are very overt. We can see them. We've lived with them. I lived with much of this all of my life. And sadly, it's not over yet. But we have an opportunity to do that. What we attempt to do on this show is to expose all aspects. I started the show looking for those excellent opportunities that people had. But I continued to get comments that, why didn't everybody do this? And had to face reality. Reality is that from the very beginning, it has not been a fair fight. It has not taken place on level ground. When I started school and when my parents started teaching school in South Carolina, they didn't pay Black and white teachers the same. Black teachers had a more difficult task because the facilities were not nearly up to the same standards as those of the white kids. The equipment that was given was hand-me-down, and much of it didn't work all the time. And so we started off in a hole. And unless people recognize this and realize that we have overcome some mighty obstacles and still have them, we don't have an accurate picture of what life has been like. The program is not designed only for Black listeners. It's designed for whites as well, because many times we've had collaborations. We've had collaborations of many types that have advanced civilization, not just Black civilization, not just white civilization, but all civilization, not just in America, but worldwide. And so we are prepared to do those discussions. I look for those unique things in history that I never knew about. I never knew about it. Now, we have a problem in America. We have a problem worldwide. I'm not saying that America is the worst, but I live here. I see it. I understand it. I'm affected by it. And so are my children. So are my grandchildren. And so will be great-grandchildren on down the line unless we do something about it. We have not faced fact. We have not faced the inevitability of what has taken place and what continues to take place, because in many cases we don't understand it. Now, we come to you every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and discuss topics like this. And there is a way that you can interact with us. There are many of you that are on your devices because I've placed on Facebook a link that you can use to listen to us. And we have listeners around the world. It's surprising the reach that we have. We have not done a lot of advertising. What I have hoped to do was to grow generically by people passing word of mouth as to what they are hearing. Now, we can make comments, and the way to do that is to use the phone number. That phone number is 646-668-8217. The reason that I suggest using the phone number is I cannot see you if you are listening on an internet link. But if you call in, I can see you on the dashboard. I can interact with you. I can open the microphone. I can close the microphone. What I do request is that when we do open the microphones, if you would be considerate of other listeners and minimize the distractions that take place. If you're on a regular phone, I believe *6 will mute you. Now, what that means is the background that's taking place in your location, such as traffic, dogs barking, kids yelling, screaming, whatever, can be distracting. And so if you would wait until the time that you are speaking to unmute yourself, which you can do with *6. And if you're on a cellular phone, there is a microphone that when lit indicates that you are muted, that we can't hear that. But you can easily unmute yourself by hitting and turning off that particular microphone with the line through it. And that allows us to have a good conversation. We have young listeners, so I ask you to refrain from adult or less than adult conversation. We don't need to do that. There are many ways in which we can sit down and have a very good, meaningful conversation without that. This is not that type of show. To those of you who have younger people in your home, this is an excellent program to expose them to things that they don't learn. While we have people today that are protesting, even the discussion of Black history, I found the exact opposite to be true. I went through elementary, junior high school, college, and did not learn about myself. I did not learn about people of my race, my ethnicity. And that was a sad mistake in my opinion. Again, the opinions expressed here are mine. Unless I tell you or quote someone else, these opinions are mine. And I've lived through them. Like I said, when my parents started teaching, they weren't paid the same. They had the same or greater load than the others did. But there were people like Septima Clark that fought valiantly for the right for all to be paid the same. We see this being carried on in many cases today, where women are not paid the same as men for work that men are doing. It's not as bad as it used to be, but it does not have a valid reason, in my opinion, to exist. Again, my opinion. we look at Ernest Everett Just, who later became Dr. Ernest Everett Just, who was born in Charleston, South Carolina. Many people were blacks were in Charleston because it was a harbor where many ships docked. There are places like that. And we look at the entire issue of slavery with jaundiced eyes. I see it from one side because I was on one side of the river. You may have been on the other side of the river. It's difficult to understand some of the subtle nuances that take place if you don't have access to the other side of the other view. This is what I found out as I started researching. I found people that had talent that were denied talent. I understand that there were people that had some freedom and some that didn't. I didn't understand the complexity of the entire system. I thought basically that all slaves were in the South picking cotton. This is the concept that I had been given. When I saw pictures of people in Africa with a strong inference that they were black, they were black, but they were half clothed and something that we actually made fun of because we didn't look like that. We thought that we were so much more advanced than they were. Until I visited Africa, talked with people from Africa, stayed with people from Africa, that I began to understand that these are some very intelligent people. But we oftentimes are not taken that way in this country. And it's a sad commentary on where we are. Because if we don't solve this problem, we pass it on to our children, our children's children, and on down the line. This is why I have undertaken to expose as much of this hidden history as possible. I believe that part of the reason that it's hidden is because it can motivate, it can inspire not only black kids, but kids of all races, people of all genders, people of all ethnicities, all races, because we see that it is possible. We are given information in our history books that omits a lot of facts. It's there, but it's not in mainstream history. And I can understand how that happens. And as I explain that, what happens is books have to be accepted in a school district. The teacher is often not the person that selects the book. Many times it's the parents. The parents have never been exposed to this. They see something that they don't know and automatically recoil. That's a normal reaction. But we have to understand what's taking place. We have many people that have died for this country, only to be shunned by the same country died for. In this case, Ernest Just did not die in vain. When I talk about die in vain, I'm talking about many people that fought in wars. They fought in wars so that they could gain respect with the belief that if they showed that they loved this country, that this country would love them back. By and large, that hasn't taken place. By and large, we have ignored those contributions. And so in order to understand what's taking place, we have to understand the full. That's why I invite you to join us here on Sundays. It is not a monologue. Sometimes it turns out that way, but it is not the intent, because I want to hear from you. I had a comment this week that said, that the article on Ernest Just was my opinion. Yes, but I think that there is adequate research that goes into it. Why do I think, and why does it appear as if that could be my opinion? Because I've lived it. I understand it. I see things jumping out at me. I was a chemist in life. When I graduated with a degree in chemistry, I had difficult finding employment in the South. And therefore, I moved to the Pacific Northwest, where the opportunity to participate was there. One of my plans, my plan B, was that I could teach, which was one of the few jobs that were open that allowed entry into the middle class in the black communities. We didn't see a lot of chemists and other positions available because they weren't. I remember applying at a company when I was in Salisbury, North Carolina, chemically based company. I thought, man, I'd have a good chance of getting there because I had 3 years of chemistry. Four of us went out and applied. And of those, three were chemistry majors. A fourth was a history major. Before we could get home, the history major had been called. And we were puzzled. Why did you get called and we didn't? He said, I only put down that I finished high school. And it was something that could not be used in that industry. And, man, that was a shock. It shocked me down to the bottom of my feet. I would think that qualifications meant something, but I found out that they didn't. Now, in South Carolina, we had a difficult time obtaining education for students of color, for black people. And because of that, when Ernest Just was 4 years old, he lost his father and his grandfather, leaving his mother, who was a teacher, and a younger brother and a younger sister to take care of. And with Ernest, they knew the quality of the education here. They knew the possibility of advancing was less than somewhere else. So he was sent to, I believe it was Massachusetts or Connecticut, one of the New England states, to study basically college preparatory courses. When he finished, he went to Dartmouth, no S in the middle, and came out with magna cum laude. At Kimball, which is where he went prior to, he had the highest grades in his class. Now, we often hear and are told that black people don't have the intelligence, and that's why education is not that important. When we look at budgets of schools, we find that generally 2 to 10 times as much is spent on the white student as there is on the black student. People see school, they see school, and accept that the two are equal. In most cases, they aren't. I think part of the experiment that we are in today, and I call it an experiment, is due to the trials or the concepts that came up earlier, because we were in denial. We denied the fact that black kids could learn, that they could comprehend, that they could move forward, that they could advance. When we have Benjamin Franklin, that Benjamin Franklin, who was of the belief that black kids couldn't learn the same as other kids, until his wife convinced him to come to the school where she was working and see the black kids in action. When he saw what was taking place, Benjamin Franklin's mind changed. We see Benjamin Franklin as a man of great wisdom, of great knowledge, of great perception. And he came away saying, these kids are as good or better than any other kids I've ever seen. But that is not what's placed in front of us. We're still left with the image that is totally disparate. There are going to be kids of all races, all ethnicities, all religions, all genders that are going to excel without exception. And we come to a person like Ernest Everett Just. Now, he had typhoid as a kid, and that was a monumental setback, because he had a difficult time recovering. He had to learn to read and write all over again. Now imagine, you have to basically restart your life, and it's a difficult process. It frustrated his mother, who was a teacher, but she sent him to the best school that she could possibly afford, and he excelled there. Excelled among people who were excelling. Sounds like a strange comment. Sounds like a strange story. But it is true. He had the herewithal to be able to do that. And yet we are told, no, you can't do that. It's not worth spending money on you. We'll put it everywhere else but on you. And then we are told in our mantra, you know, liberty and justice for all, equal rights for all, everybody had the same opportunity. And that's not true. Now, his mother, Mary, taught, and in the summer she worked in the phosphate mines on James Island in the Charleston area. I'm not totally familiar with Charleston, but I know that there are a number of islands out there. We have Barrier Islands. We have other islands in North Carolina. We have the Outer Banks and whatever. And the story on those islands is fascinating. We'll go into it someday. But she saw lots of land there, and she encouraged black people to go there and purchase land and farm, do whatever they could. And a town is there now called Maryville, named in her honor or renamed in her honor because of what she saw. There are all black towns that came up in America, but generally they were legislated out or some other action taken to make sure that they did not survive. Eminent domain, for example, was one of those cases that took opportunities away. If you don't have land, many times you didn't have the finances to earn what you made. We hear the story of sharecropping. Sharecropping sounds like an ideal arrangement, but understand, black people had worked and worked hard all of their life, but had nothing to show for it because they were not paid. What they got was a meager existence. They got the worst of clothing. They got the worst of food. And yet they persisted. They persisted. And so what we have come up with, when they were freed, they had nothing. And many places were exclusive. We had a period of time where a landowner could say, I'll sell you this piece of land, but you can never sell it to a person of color. We have people today that don't know their history. And I'm not just talking about black people, talking about white people. I am reading a book, and I believe the title of it is Virtue of Cain, C-A-I-N. And in that book, we have a Microsoft executive that when he retired began looking into his family. He had been told that the pigment in his skin was because of Native American heritage. Native American heritage. Now, we play around with the concept of race. Virginia had a racial purity law, I believe in 1924, that said there were only two races, black and white. Native Americans were placed in the category of black because they weren't white. But so many people were bragging about their connection to Pocahontas, having Indian blood, that an exception was made, whereas if you had an extremely small percentage of any blood other than white, you were considered black. But they made the Pocahontas exception, that if it was Native American, you were still white. Now, this is playing games to the nth degree. And we have to be very careful about that. And so we look, we find that probably 3% of all Americans who consider themselves white have at least 1% of black blood. And so we have to come to realizations. It's not necessarily that one drop. What it is the content and character of a person. Now, I'm going to give you that number again because I'm sure that some of you have questions, some of you have comments, some of you have suggestions. We value them all. And again, we're trying to pass on information based on fact. There may be opinion in there, but it's something that I've lived, something that I've gone with. Now, that number, again, and towards the latter part of the show, we will open up the microphones. I encourage you to call. If we have enough people call before we get to that point, we'll make a spot where we can have some questions, go back into a dialogue, and again, open them again. The problem is many times people don't call in. I appreciate you listening. And I invite you to invite other people to listen in. Most times when we watch TV, we don't have a chance to ask questions. This is one of my concerns about a sermon that a minister delivers, because we don't have the ability to ask questions at that time. Those people that really want to know are going to come back to Sunday school. They're going to come back to devotions, they're going to come back and hopefully ask these questions. But many times we don't ask the questions because we're afraid that we're going to look, quote, stupid. That's one of the things that affected me in my earlier life. I didn't want to ask a question and have somebody say, man, I thought he would know the answer to that. And that person saying it probably didn't know the answer to the question either, but did not have to be under fire to answer it. I don't want that to happen. I want our audiences to be willing to discuss, to ask questions, because that's our primary concern. The topics that we talk about are written in AmazingBlackHistory.com, and I want you to recognize that. If you look at the title on who is sponsoring the show, AmazingBlackHistory.com is the sponsor. And it is AmazingBlackHistory.com. That's it. And we talk about, there's over 300 posts there. But let's go back to Ernest Everett Just. Graduated, and he tried to get an appointment to a white institution of higher learning in order to teach. what he wanted to do is teach and do research. Now, I don't know if this is the point that the person was making, that there was no nothing in the way of this happening. There shouldn't have been. I agree with that. But there was. When I got my degree, I did not get any positive responses. In fact, I didn't get any responses from corporations in the South. And so I saw what was there, difficulty in getting opportunities to do something. Dr. Just made contact with other people. He works at Woods Hole and did tremendous research. He was even invited to Germany to study. He went to Europe and studied and worked and researched and made some amazing discoveries. Why don't we know about him? There are lots of people in other fields that we don't hear about. But when I recall my American history, there was very little written on black people. And to sum it up, they said we were good in music and sports, not academic pursuits, because that was competition. We have fallen under the concept, and part of the animosity between the races comes down to the fact that the rich white slave owner would tell white people, I would employ you, but they're taking your job. Yeah, because I can get them for nothing. I can get them for nothing. So there is animosity built up. They further tricked these people, and most people did not come or have a heritage of slave ownership in their lineage. I think a lot of people are afraid of that. This is why they don't want to look into their ancestry, because they may find it. I don't care if you had slave owners in your ancestry. While it is important in history, to me it is not important. What is important are what are you doing? What are your opinions? We can make changes to our society. And I'm not trying to pair up every interracial couple that ever comes down the pike. That's not my intent. All I want is opportunity. And this is what Just wanted. But he found that he couldn't. He ended up at Howard University, great historically black college and university. Howard is named after General Howard, who was a liaison with the black community. At one time after the Civil War, they had talked about splitting up the broad land ownership. And most of these people didn't have to pay for the land that they were given. They were encouraged to come here to settle. And those that did were given land. All over this country, we reduced the Native American their land ownership by over 99%, And yet and still, we treat them the way that we do. I sometimes refer back, because all of my life I've called them Indians, but I think it's an insult. I think it's an insult. Because they are Native Americans, not Indians. The reason that they are designated as Indians is because Columbus thought he was in India. That's like a drunk person coming to your door asking for somebody else, and now you are whatever that person was looking for. That's not right. And so we have Ernest Just, who was fortunate enough to do research. The man was respected around the country. But again, he could not do his research here because those colleges and universities that had the resources employ him. This is the shame of the game. And I think it continues today. although it is not to the extent that we had it before, still exist. There are many, many advances that we could take that call for the best minds, not the best white minds, the best black minds, the best yellow, the best red, the best brown, the best anything, but the best of the best is what we should be focused on. As I speak to you, just did work in the area of biology, zoology, and was remarkable in what he was able to accomplish. But as I look at the world today, we have devastating diseases that are inundating us. Alzheimer's, for example. It is a cruel, cruel disease. It's a long, slow goodbye. We have research that's taking place at the University of Washington now that is identifying parts of the human genome where we should be able to identify many problems before they manifest in other ways. We're taking the best minds and putting on the toughest projects. This is the way that it should be. This is the way that it should be. It benefits everybody, black, white, yellow, red, green, whatever. I guess we may have some Martians here somewhere. But our concepts need to be updated. And so when we see the best of the best not being given the best of the opportunities, or at least the opportunity to do what they have done. There were junior and senior scientists knocking on his door trying to get the education that he had. He was more than willing to share it if given the opportunity to do so. And so with that, I want you to read that post. Now, here's what we do on AmazingBlackHistory.com. I give you a summary based on research. And I try, understanding that many people learn differently, I try to include videos. I try to include books. I don't want to just give you a sentence. It's kind of like giving a person a fish. You feed them for a day. Teach them how to fish, and you feed them for a lifetime. And what I'm trying to do is to find that which ignites your fire, your passion for learning, your passion for research, your passion for excellence, because it's there. We sometimes talk ourselves down. We talk ourselves down from the standpoint that unless we give everybody every opportunity, we are shorting ourselves. Because some inventions have come from very unlikely sources. Sometimes they come about as mistakes. When we look at Teflon, there was an explosion in the DuPont plant. And when they tried to clean it up, they couldn't. That led to the discovery of Teflon. Now, we have to be careful because we are so enamored that we sometimes fail to look further down the road. When we don't, we end up with forever chemicals that are contaminating our soil. We have some places now where we cannot grow organic food because of the residues that are in the soil. When we mine, for example, we have to be very careful with the tailings that come out of those mines, or else we are polluting ourselves. We found at one time DDT. And it killed the bugs, but it was also killing us. And I remember reading an article at one time that human milk would not be fit for human consumption because of the amount of DDT that was in it. How does it get into our food supply? It's part of the food chain. And we put it in there without adequate recognition of what's taking place. I want you to look at some of the research that Dr. Ernest Just did. Ernest Everett Just did. Sounds kind of funny. But go to AmazingBlackHistory.com. If you want to see other posts that we have there, click the blog list. If you have comments, let us know. If you need additional information, let us know. If you disagree with us, let us know. And I've got comments like that, and I appreciate them because I can do further research on what's taking place. It is difficult for me to do primary research at this point, but there is a lot of information out there that is obtainable. And I hope to, or I'm in the process of writing a book about how we develop many of our attitudes towards race. What we should be looking at is the country and not the race of the individual. Martin Luther King, in his comment, that at some point we will judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And we see that having happened to Dr. Just. Now, in the interest of those people that may have that vague inclination that they are, that they've heard the name, Dr. Just was one of the founders of Omega Psi Phi fraternity. And we have a lot of those people. It's a fraternity that's prevalent on many black and primarily black institutions, and I'm sure it's spread to others where there are black students. But he did this. He was not a one-sided character because he gave and he gave back. And this is what we look for. We look for those well-rounded individuals, but they are among us. They contribute to us. Now, let me give you that number again, because this can be used anytime you call a program on Blog Talk Radio / Crown Talking Drums. And as I speak of that, founder of Crown Talking Drums, Apostle Willie Armstrong, lost his wife this week. And we pray with him, we pray for him and the family and all people that may be going through a season of bereavement. It's difficult. We have a country that sometimes does not look at the devastating effects of what's going on. Some of you may have missed programs yesterday and the day before on Crown Talking Drums. But again, he sets these up, and I am very thankful for him for having set us up for today. It is my pleasure when I talk to you and provide the information. And again, the opinions expressed, not the facts, but the opinions expressed on this show on AmazingBlackHistory.com, and I try to keep them to a minimum, are those of myself, John C. Abercrombie. We have over 300 posts there. I think that they are enlightening. I would love to work with someone who can help me reach our children, because our children are our future. And I would like to put together a project in which we focus on kids. South Carolina has a law now, and I think it's a good one. The kids have to show grade proficiency in reading. Reading is the foundation of all of our knowledge, because with it, we can find what we need. Reading, but reading is also videos. We have to know what we want to find out, how to find it out, and these are things, but the basic concept of reading needs to be engendered in all of us. Sometimes we have difficulty. Sometimes as adults we have difficulty. As we talk about medical and legal areas in particular, we find that there's a use of Latin or other foreign languages to describe things that we would describe in English. But they're understood, and they're understood around the world. And we find that, you know, we can get medical dictionaries, we can get legal dictionaries, and we can demystify much of what's going on. That, in some cases, impacts our health because we don't know what to ask the doctor. We don't understand. Now, understand that when you are seeking medical help, legal help, whatever, you are a team. You need to understand to some extent what's going on. You can't just take a bunch of stuff in and dump it on somebody's desk and say, sort this out, and when it is a perfect picture, call me. No, it's not like that. But we see that much of the work of Dr. Just was a foundation for other work that's come on. We're finding now that the information that Woods Hole and other places are doing is paramount to our even existence. We're finding now that we are eating plastic as part of our diet because it's getting into the food chain. We need to understand basic concepts. We need to take our most talented and sick them at the problem. That doesn't mean everybody needs to be a scientist, because on Thursday, I have a program dedicated to success. And success is as you define it. In this particular case, Dr. Just was able to find some solutions to some of his problems, but he shouldn't have had to go to the extent that he did in order to do that. We see other people that have had to do the same thing, and we talk about them in our post. When we look at James McCoon Smith, the first licensed doctor in this country, first licensed black doctor in this country, he couldn't attend medical school in America because of the color of his skin. He had to go to Glasgow, Scotland, but fortunate enough to be able to do so. He earned 3 degrees there. Now, we're talking about people that have historically been portrayed as not being academically up to the challenge. We see it. But what we don't see is the opportunity. It's important that people know that they can partner with people. Some of you are probably listening to the show as you're driving, not being mindful of Dr. Gladys West, who was one of the foundational developers of GPS. We use it today. A black female mathematician worked for NASA, who had the opportunity to display what she had. When we look at Ray Montague, we see a woman that took an assignment that usually was given to a team of engineers and took 2 years to do. She basically taught herself computers. Yeah, she took some classes, but she was unable to do this in college in Arkansas because there was no college that taught engineering for black students in Arkansas at the time. And she was able to cut down the time of designing a ship from 2 years by a team of engineers to her program to do so in 18 hours and 36 minutes. Why? How in the world can we not know that name? We know the importance of people like Katherine Johnson. but we do not know the name of Ernest Everett Just. I hope that at this point it becomes known. It becomes well known because it will inspire people, our kids, our adults, not just the black kids, not just the white kids, but all kids, all adults, that they can do more. We see this. This is a benefit. This is a benefit worldwide. This is something that benefits mankind, all of it. Read the story of Ernest Just. I was very impressed with him. I had heard the name, but I didn't know the other accomplishments, which are so important in my book. My book, not my book, but my knowledge. So we do this. It's difficult to talk about everybody that's done everything, but I think we've done a great disservice to the entire world when we can have an average history book of 888 pages, and we usually use one or two, and all it says about black people, good at sports, good at music. That's because it can't be denied. It can't be denied. But the research, the other accomplishments that have taken place are numerous. Numerous, too numerous to mention. When I started, I thought, I'm going to run out of things to talk about. But no, I have stuff to last me several years. On AmazingBlackHistory.com, we post weekly, except during February, which is Black History Month. We post daily. March, Women's History Month, we post daily. And these are people that we should all know about. If you read a post, of them of recent have links that take you to those months. We've done 3 years worth of Black History Month and 2 years of Women's History Month. These are people that we should know about, people that should be on our radar. When we realize the inspiration, Bessie Coleman, who was the first woman of any race to have an international pilot's license, the first woman of any race to hold an international pilot's license, was inspired by her brothers who came back and told her that in France, women could do this and women could do that. And she accepted the challenge. We have kids today that will accept the challenge. We have kids today that will see what's possible and will absolutely amaze you. We have adults that still have that vigor of youth within them that will pick up and do what they can do. It may be an entrepreneurial pursuit. It may be a scientific pursuit. It may be anything that you can imagine, but it contributes to a better world. Whether your idea is to make cookies and bring joy to someone's face, or better health, or whatever the case may be, you can do it. This is what we do. This is why we do it. Because I want to challenge you. There are some... And I'm not condemning a race, because I found that much of the help that I got when I went into my chosen profession came from people that I least expected. I had preconceived ideas about whether people would even speak to me in the morning because of what I had been exposed to. It's almost shameful, but that's all I knew. All I knew. There would be one or two somewhere that would show glimmers of that, but generally it was not to be well known. It was kind of hidden. But it shouldn't be hidden. God has made us all. God has endowed us the same. We have different skin covering. There may be a few other things that are different. But that, I think, is still a good thing. Still a good thing. You know, when we find, for example, the chicken industry or the turkey industry or something, we usually end up with one or two breeds that are taking over. And if something happens to that breed, we get devastated. We've seen this with our egg crop. Prices of eggs have shot through the roof because so many chickens had to be killed. If we had not put all of our eggs in one basket, may not be in that particular predicament now. But we have to look beyond the end of our nose. We have to look at a cooperative spirit. We have to look well down the line. This is why we're continuing to have what we're having. It looks like it's going to be an El Nino year. And if that's the case, we're going to have heat, lots of heat. And out of that, some people are not going to make it. It's just a fact of life. But we need to learn what we can. Some of the research that Just was doing could have taught us that. When we look back into the 50s and 60s, I remember reading Rachel Carson, Silent Spring, warning about exactly what we're going through today. I don't know if many people did not take it seriously because it was a woman or not. But we don't have the luxury of ignoring certain people because of the way that they look. We have to take the best brain power that we have and develop it. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what we are speaking of here. I want you to look at some of the accomplishments of Dr. Just, because he was an amazing person. Again, he had worldwide recognition, not so much in this country. We see other people that are in similar positions. You know, he went to the Colored Normal Industrial, Agricultural, and Mechanical College of South Carolina, which is now known as South Carolina State University, in Orangeburg. And we look. At one time, Matthew Perry, a prominent judge, federal judge, wanted to go to law school. I remember talking to him in particular about a case, not necessarily a case, excuse me, about part of his career. And he couldn't attend law school in South Carolina because they didn't have law school for black students. In some cases, states wanted to pay your tuition to have you go somewhere else so they didn't have to open up opportunities for you. And then people think that all I'm expressing is an opinion. It's based on fact. This is supposed to be the greatest country on the face of the earth, and it can be. But we have to work to make it so. Again, that number is 646-668-8217. At this point, we do not have any callers showing up on the dashboard. I'll talk a few minutes more. If nobody is on at that time, we will end the broadcast. But I want to give you those opportunities to ask the questions, to make your comments, to make your suggestions, because it is a program for you. We come on every Sunday. At 4, you can use the same link. If you're interested in success, join me on Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, for discussions on business success, and its faith on the road to success. We don't often talk about the road to success for people, black, white, or whoever, but this is what we should do. Small business is the backbone of this country. The opportunity is the mantra that we should have. And this will bring about equality quicker than anything else. Those dreams that you have, there's a reason that you have them. There was a reason that Just was given a mission. That mission didn't come from anywhere except God. And he persisted. Sometimes it's difficult for us to persist when we have things thrown back in our face every day. But it's possible. It is possible, my friends. It's possible. Not only is it possible, but you make it possible. It is you that are responsible. We can each do what we do. I know people that get enjoyment out of cooking food. In fact, I enjoy watching food channels. And people are cooking up all sorts of gastronomical delights and just deriving pleasure and giving people pleasure. Now, one thing I want to make sure that we understand, because work is difficult, but we need to make breathing room for ourselves. When we look at the creation of the world, he rested on the seventh day. We need breaks during our day. When I'm doing research, I found that I can slug through it, but I lose my accuracy, I lose my precision, I lose my way. I find that I'm better to do it in chunks. I'm going to do a half hour now, another half later, another chunk over here, a chunk over there, but it's planned. I know what steps, what rocks I'm going to step on as I walk across this river. Maybe times when I fall in, but I know where to get back up and get on the trail again. This is what we're trying to carry on to you. This is a recipe for success, not only for you, but for all around you. I want you to have ethics, and I want you to practice them every day. I used to say that there is no way that I would take something that isn't mine. Later modified it to say, if I take something, you're not going to find me by trailing pennies as I get away. But if there's enough $100 bills in a backpack that you could shoot me with a high-powered rifle, and I may not get hurt. Maybe we're talking about something different. But then even that becomes facetious when I understand morals and ethics. And this is why I'm trying to show you a complete picture. I could show you one side of that picture, but I feel that would be unfair. Unfair because you don't understand what people have gone through to get where they are the people that have tried to get there and have been knocked down repeatedly. What that does to the psyche, what that does to mental health, and we often overlook that as well. Some people have tried and tried and tried and have suffered, but you don't have to do that. It's not necessary because we can overcome any and everything. Now, we do have a caller that has shown up. I don't know if they've listened to the other program, but I will open the microphone, see if they have any comments or whether they're just here. You do not have to make comments just because you show up on here, but this gives you an opportunity. It gives you a chance to ask questions. It gives you a chance to make comments. Because we want to make the show better. We want to make it relevant. to those people that we have. So we have a caller from 864. Hello. Hello. Are you there? Is this you, Marshall?
Yes, Mr. Abercrombie. How are we doing today?
We're doing well. Hope that you are, too.
Yes, doing just fine. Just getting in out of the rain. Just coming in from Greer, and it's raining like mad over that way. If it's not raining that way, it's coming this way.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah, the rain is really, really coming down. And happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers and all your wife and everybody. And just glad to be on this side and enjoying somebody said enjoying life. Yeah, because so many people life has been swept away from them. We had it out here at Rufford on Tuesday evening. We had in this meeting with the city council and others concerning the removal of City Hall, putting it on the Florence Chapel grounds. That would be on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock on the 16th. I think that's Tuesday on the 16th. So we'll be there and everybody be there. I wish everybody would come on out so we can speak your mind about this, what they trying to do. And we just
now
told
this
you,
is
know,
this
we...
Welford?
Yes, Welford. Mm-hmm. Welford City Hall.
Do you have the address of the building where it's going to be?
City Hall, yeah. Yeah, it'll be City Hall. So if anybody want to come, it wouldn't be no problem. Because I don't have it right in front of me. It has a different name, but I've always known where it was at, City Hall,
okay.
You know. Yeah.
Well, you know, if I can find it, anybody can find it.
Yeah,
and
it might
CBS
be.
And CBS does a great job.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. This may be educational for some people that everybody can come and get into discussion. It's going to be a discussion. They just had one this week past. It was where that you wouldn't be able to say anything. I think it was from the Park and Recreation people was displaying the project of them moving City Hall to the Florence Chapel grounds location. I think that's what that one was about. But this one, Tuesday night, this one will be where everybody can have their say on whether or not they like it or dislike it coming to that park. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I encourage people to get involved in their local politics because all politics are local. They come back to the local. You mentioned that it was raining over in Greer. I don't know how many people know it. The Weather Channel is owned by Byron Allen, who is
Byron
a black comedian.
Yes, Byron Allen, yes.
Yeah, so the brother has done well.
Yes. Byron Allen, that's very educational. Something that if you didn't know, now you know. Yeah, Byron
now,
Allen.
Let me pass on another bit of information.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson is part of the group that is purchasing the Washington Commanders. The football team in Washington used to be the Redskins.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think it was $6.05 billion that they paid.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to build people.
but we can get there.
We can get there. Yeah, just have to wake up. That's one of our problems. We're going to have to wake up. The opportunities is there waiting on us, and we still sleep. Some of us still sleep. Yeah, opportunities is right there.
Do we have any other updates on the cemetery?
No update on the cemetery from what we did the last The other week, we haven't got any update. I don't have an update for the next one, but I know we'll be going back, so we'll give you an update a little later on that.
Okay, okay. I appreciate it because that's an opportunity for community involvement. Now, while we're talking about community, on March, May 31st, which is coming up, I will be speaking at the Spartanburg Public Library on the corner of Church and Kennedy Street on Black females in the military. And we'll go back to the Revolutionary War and work forward. And we have participated in wars in ways that we have never understood. So join us at 7 o'clock. I think it's going to be in the Harley. And so pass the word around.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And we certainly will be there, and that'll be 7 o'clock on the, 31st?
31st, and it's a Wednesday.
Okay. All right, we will certainly be there. Be looking forward to all of that good information that you always give us and give out to us, that we may be better citizens, and we appreciate you with your effort that you laying out for us, and that we can do better. Because we can do better. Okay. We have nothing to be ashamed of, but we can always do better.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. And we've done more than we even know.
Yes, yes. I think that's a lot of the problem. We just don't know what some of the accomplishments that we made, we don't know. So, you don't know.
I think it's by design.
Yeah, and you mentioned
into an argument, we can't come up with the facts, and so some people just kind of pull us off.
But this
is why I try to give you the facts every Sunday.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, and you're doing a wonderful job. And I understand that WPJM is going to be leaving its location on the 29th of this month. It will no longer be on Tryon Street. It would be on 290 on the east side of Greer, WPJM, the radio station there in Greer. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They've been going to move all of this year, but I think it's down to the nitty-gritty right now. They're going to have to leave on the 29th, I believe it is, of this month. Yeah.
Now, this is a black-owned station?
Bobby Cohen, Pastor Bobby Cohen's out of Greer. He's from Greer. He's been with that radio station ever since 1980. That's when it
was. I'm going to have to contact him and see if we can't get some word out of that station.
I will let him know, because I'm pretty sure they're going to have some type of an opening for the new facilities that he either had. So at that particular time, I will talk with him. I may just give him a call and see what he's talking about, what he had.
Okay. Now, I understand that Charles Montgomery out of Gaffney passed away about a month ago. I'm not sure the status of his station, but I've been on that station before.
I didn't know that. That's senior? Because I think his son named. I remember him. Sure. We've gone together many, many times for him. He's invited us to different churches there in Gaffney.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. Well, looks like we have pretty much concluded. I want to thank everybody for attending, particularly my friend Marshall. And we will join you again next Sunday at 4 p.m. We'll get updates from Marshall on what's going on in Welford and the surrounding area. Now, this is a man that I admire, because he doesn't just talk. He puts it into action, and that's what we all need to do. Talk is cheap, but work is everlasting. So, Marshall, I appreciate you more than you'll ever know. To our listeners,
thank you. Yes, sir.
Be sure to join us next week. And may you have a blessed week, one and all. This is John C.
Everett.
Did you know?
Yes. Didn't know, now you know. Thank you.